Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We're continuing in chapter 1 of the Gospel. And we're going to be reading verses 39 through 45, and then jumping down to verse 57, and reading through to verse 68. The portion that we're jumping over, that we're skipping over, is the Magnificat. And there's a reason for that. We are still going to hear the Magnificat this Christmas season, but we're going to save that for next week. So there is a reason, there's a method of the madness, so to speak. We will come back to that, but we're going to read the passages about the birth of John the Baptist today. So, all right. Gospel of Luke chapter 1, starting with verses 39 through 45, and then going on down to 57 and reading through 68. It's a bit of a lengthy passage, but a good one. Hear now the word of our Lord. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks.
Well, today we are continuing in our Advent series, which we're calling My Dear Theophilus, a play off of the opening of Luke chapter 1. As we continue our search for that certain truth, which is promised to all those who are loved by God. We began 2 weeks ago as we looked at the prophecy of hope, which was given to this elderly couple of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had dealt with great disappointment throughout their entire lives as they seemed to miss out on the great potential everyone saw in them as they remained barren. They, like all in Israel, from the time of the last prophets until this moment, had been waiting with growing impatience and eventually growing doubt that the Lord would ever answer their prayers. But just when all hope seemed lost, the angel Gabriel appeared and spoke a prophetic hope into their lives, promising that their prayers had indeed been heard, and that God was going to answer their prayers both for a son and for the Messiah. Those prayers were soon to be answered. Then last week, we continued with yet another prophetic word foretelling the birth of another child. This time, a child that through whom God would enter into the world in an all-new way. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her of God's great love for her and the mercy he had for her, and that the prayers of many would be answered through the birth of her son. This birth would show the love of God to everyone who would come to know him, and would bring the reality of love to her in a way that no one else would ever experience as she carried love inside her womb for 9 months. And as a sign that this would indeed come to pass, her elderly cousin Elizabeth had already had her prayers answered as she carried a different child of prophecy within her womb. And today we come back to that first prophetic child as we continue the story in the Gospel of Luke as he lays out an orderly account so that those loved by God can have certainty in the truth of the gospel and find peace. Our passage today begins immediately where last week's passage left off. The angel has told Mary that she will conceive and bear a child, and that as a sign of that, her cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. So Mary sets off to receive the promised sign that the angel has given her, so that any little doubts she might still have about the angel's words can be cast aside. Our passage tells us that Mary traveled to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and upon her arrival, she greets her cousin, and instantly the words of the angel become a reality to her and her pregnant cousin, because her cousin responds in joy with the miracle that has just happened within her. Upon hearing Mary's voice, the child who would become known as John the Baptist begins his lifelong calling of preparing the way for Messiah by leaping for joy within his mother's womb, thereby pointing her to the truth of who was in Mary's womb. Before John was even born, he was already fulfilling the prophecies about him, because in leaping for joy, he pointed to the truth that the Messiah had indeed come into the world. We always celebrate Christmas as the moment in which Christ came into the world. But actually, Christ came into the world 9 months before that. And for 9 months, God of all the universe, the Creator, was within Mary's womb. And here, the pre-born John the Baptist prophesies and testifies to who is in Mary's womb as he leaps for joy within her. Even from the womb, John was pointing to Christ. And before Mary can even tell Elizabeth of what the angel has said, Elizabeth, having felt the child leap within her womb, is filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaims the truth of Mary's pregnancy and of the child within Mary's womb, as she says, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me, mother of my Lord?" There's a theological term that was a matter of great debate when it first became a part of our creeds. The term is Theotokos. And it is a term that is ascribed to Mary as the bearer of God. There's a lot of controversy over this because there were those that didn't like the idea of her being the bearer of God. They tried to change the term, but the truth is that God himself was in Mary's womb for 9 months. Thus, Elizabeth says, "The mother of my Lord. Who am I that the mother of my Lord?" In these words, as well as the testimony that follows, Mary's questions and any remaining doubts she may or may not have had are answered. For not only does she see that her cousin is indeed pregnant, as the angel has said, but she receives confirmation of the angel's prophetic words upon hearing her cousin's affirmation of the truth. And with these words, I'd like to pause our story for just a moment and point to how these prophetic words from Elizabeth brought peace to Mary's heart and mind. Now, in most years when we come to this passage, we tend to focus on the joy, going straight into the joyful exclamation of the Magnificat. And we see the joy both in Elizabeth and Mary, and then later on Zechariah. But along with this joy, I see the peace that must be coming to rest upon Mary in this moment. Imagine for a moment what the last week or two may have been like for Mary. Her life has been turned upside down by the angel's prophecy. As she was facing the uncertainties of this pregnancy, long before she had planned. She had been planning on marrying Joseph. And imagine that her first child would come as a result of their union. But now she's pregnant before that has come to pass. As a result, her entire future was at risk of falling apart. She had no assurances at this point that Joseph would believe. She had no assurances that Joseph would trust her word, that she had indeed remained faithful, that this child was of God. She had no assurances that he would still marry her and help her raise this child. And while she believed the words of the angel, you can only imagine the anxiety that must have gripped her as she first processed what she had been told and then prepared to travel and visit Elizabeth. Imagine also the anxiety and anticipation that would have grown with every mile that she got closer to Elizabeth. Have you ever traveled to surprise a friend or a family member? Every mile that you get closer, every step you get closer, you can feel that anticipation building up inside. Add to that the stress of what she was already going. There had been doctors back then, they would have been looking to find ways to lower her blood pressure. And now, imagine the great relief and peace that would have come upon her as her fears and questions were answered upon hearing her cousin's prophetic declaration. She knew that it was true. And in this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth, we see how the prophetic voice can bring peace to those who anxiously wait upon the fulfillment of the Lord's promises. At this point, neither prophetic birth had happened yet. Neither birth prophecy had been fully fulfilled. The rate of miscarriages and stillbirths in that day were exponentially higher than we have today. Anything could have gone wrong. But the affirmation of both her pregnancy and Elizabeth's pregnancy were no way confirmation that they would actually happen. But they were confirmation, they were affirmation of the prophetic words of the angel concerning the pregnancies. And if the angel was correct concerning the pregnancies, then both women could have peace with the assurance that his prophecy about the births would come true as well. Mary was able to find peace even amidst her anticipation. Now, no doubt the anticipation would remain. In fact, it probably would grow even more because now she knew without a shadow of a doubt, yes, indeed, this is going to come to pass. She had received partial confirmation of what had been predicted. So now she could bear that anticipation without the anxiety and uncertainty that had been there before. She could have peace. And as we move on to the second part of our passage, we come at last to the fulfillment of that first prophecy about John's birth. After 9 months of anticipation, the prophecy of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah in the temple that day, that a son would indeed be born to him and Elizabeth, is fulfilled. Elizabeth gives birth to her son, and both she and the baby were happy and healthy. And the great mercy of the Lord became a reality to her and all who knew her. When the time came for the baby to be named, out of faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, she and her husband named the baby John, despite the objections of their friends and neighbors. And here again, we find not only joy, but peace for these two new parents. For the last 9 months, maybe a little bit longer, Zechariah has been unable to speak. Ladies, could you imagine if your husband had been unable to speak while you were pregnant? Husbands, could you imagine if you were unable to speak while your wives were pregnant? Sure, he was able to communicate by writing and making signs, but he was unable to use his voice. Imagine the frustration that he and Elizabeth must have gone through during that time of silence. I mean, yeah, sometimes you wish that your spouse would just shut their mouth, but not for 9 months. Those of you who have had children, you know how much discussion and planning goes on during those 9 months of pregnancy. And Zechariah was unable to communicate by voice. He was unable to speak. And Elizabeth would have undoubtedly felt as if she was alone in the midst of her pregnancy, even with her husband right there. Zechariah, being unable to speak, would be unable to fully express the joy that he felt as he saw the unfolding fulfillment of the angel's prophecy. As joyful as he undoubtedly was at Elizabeth's pregnancy, he was unable to voice or express that joy in any meaningful way. But now, after seeing the fulfillment of that promise, and after being obedient to the Lord by naming their son John, Zechariah's tongue is finally loosened. And he is finally able to shout with joy, expressing all of those emotions, all of those feelings, those thoughts that had been building up for the last 9 to 10 months. Imagine the relief that he and Elizabeth must have felt when he was able to speak again. When he was able to fully communicate with his wife, and he was finally able to join in the joyful celebration. And as he is able to proclaim with certainty the truth of who his son would be. Here with Zechariah, we see the peace that he has given, not only out of the fulfillment of a prophecy, but also in his obedience to God. For it was not until he showed his obedience by naming the baby John, that he was able to speak again. And I imagine that if he had consented to the baby being named anything but John, he may have remained mute his entire life. He did not receive that peace until he showed his obedience to the Lord. And with the birth of John the Baptist, we find peace also in the certainty that comes from seeing the beginning of God's promises being fulfilled. Keep in mind that as amazing and wonderful as the pregnancy of Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist was, and as joyful and fulfilling as it was to his parents, the birth of John the Baptist is only a partial fulfillment of the entirety of the prophecies which have been given. The birth of John the Baptist is just the beginning. In his prophecy to Zechariah, Gabriel stated that John would be the one who would go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This is an echoing of the very last prophecy given to the people of Israel before the intertestamental period, the period of perceived silence in which there were no major prophets. The last words of the Old Testament speak of God sending the prophet Elijah to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And now the angel Gabriel has said that this baby that will be born to you in answer to your prayer will be this person. And with this prophecy, Zechariah would have also understood that this meant the Messiah would be coming soon. And while the birth of John the Baptist was the fulfilling of this prophecy, the complete fulfillment of this prophecy would not come until almost 30 years later with the ministry of John in the wilderness as he baptized people, calling them to repentance in expectation of the coming of the Messiah. The birth of John was a cause for great joy, but it was not entirely the fulfillment of what would come. However, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, who because of their advanced age would likely not live to see the final fulfillment of this prophecy, it was enough. They could live and raise their child in peace, knowing that the fulfillment, the final fulfillment of this prophecy was still to come. And when we look at Mary, the birth of John the Baptist was the confirmation that the words of the angel were true. And she rejoiced with her cousin in the miraculous birth. However, the complete fulfillment of the prophecy given to her by the angel was still to come. The prophecy given to her was, after all, about the birth of her own child, not the birth of John. The birth of John was simply confirmation of what would still come to pass. Because of this, she could face the uncertainty of all that was laid before her with peace, and with the certainty that it would come to pass and the Lord would be walking. She knew where she stood in God's unfolding path for her life, and for the lives of all who would be saved through his plan for salvation. And although she would go through a lot of tough things in her life, she could have peace because she knew that God would always keep his promises. She could have peace. In this, we can see that peace reigns among those who serve God as each understands his or her own place in God's plan. And we too can have that peace as we await the fulfillment of God's promises to come. In the biblical account, we find in the Gospel of Mark, we can find the beginning good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what we find here, the beginning of the good news. As we look in faith upon the truth of how God fulfilled these early promises about sending his Son, sending a prophet to prepare a way before him, we can have certainty in the truth that God will also keep his promises, that one day Christ will return and will take all those who are loved by God and who love him in return to be with him for all of eternity. We can find peace in the certainty that all who believe in him will indeed be saved. And we can find peace as we anticipate the coming of the Lord. As we continue on in our Advent journey for one more week, let us carry the peace of God in our hearts. That peace which passes all understanding. And let us do everything to share that peace with others as we testify to the certain truth which has been passed down to us from those who have seen firsthand how God keeps his promises every day.
We have one more week, brothers and sisters. But this final week is when a lot of people start to panic. Last minute shopping, wrapping the gifts, getting everything perfectly ready. Don't let the chaos of this week, don't let the chaos of your final preparations keep you from the peace that comes from knowing our Lord.